Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And this day, as we have seen, has been a day of rejoicing, a day of hallelujah, a day of hand clap of praise, that we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And I pray that your day has been a day of blessing. Even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of a storm, we can still give a hallelujah praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to our God the Father, which art in heaven. Hallelujah. And thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio. Well, today is another day that we are going to move through the pages of the Bible in this particular teaching series, which has been a wonderful, wonderful teaching series, How Did I Become a Sinner? And we are going to be looking at part three on today with the points being perfect fellowship, point two being broken fellowship, and point three, which we will be looking at today, redeeming fellowship, the covering. And I just encourage you to go back and listen to the other parts to this particular series, and that you would familiarize yourself with this series, point one being perfect fellowship and point two being broken fellowship. And as we move right into our third point in this particular teaching series, How Did I Become a Sinner? It has been a delight, and I thank God for our sweet nuggets that he has revealed to us through this series. And, of course, my guest, Arlene Gill, Ginger to me and Ginger to so many others, as our sister will continue to pick up in this series, bringing the richness of God's Word through the Bible and unpacking these verses to hopefully will shed light and growth in your heart as you continue to grow and go with the Lord. And so, Ginger, as we continue to just move in these pages, I would love for you to just give us a little thumbnail sketch of what we were delighted with on the last teaching broadcast. And then if you would just open up with a prayer of praise to our Father.
Yeah. Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Ginger, and I'm so pleased to know that on this journey that we've been going through, how the Lord has opened up scriptures and give us insight and just different things that he has enlightened us with throughout this little journey of searching out how we have how we became a sinner, you know. And to go back on, we ended up last week on speaking of the temptations that Jesus went through and how it, you know, side by side is the same tactic that the enemy used to deceive Adam and Eve in the garden. And Satan is not different. He's the same. He attacks the same way. He's a deceiver. He comes in very subtly into our lives, using the things that we love the most sometimes to distract us from the things of God and get us away from the true meaning and the richness that we have in Christ. So from that, we are going into redeeming fellowship, point three, Redeeming Fellowship and the covering, through the covering. And this, we are still in Genesis, it's chapter 3. And I would love for my sister Carnita to read the verses that were chosen for this lesson. And it will be taken from Genesis 3, verses 7 through 22. Genesis 3, verses 7 through 22. So, Carnita, if you would please read those verses for me, it would be appreciated.
Amen. Oh, before I read, let's open up our,
yes,
or start our broadcast with a prayer.
Yes.
For someone who may be hurting, for someone who may be displaced, or someone who just may be in a sick bed of infirmity, or just in pain in their heart. So if you could, Ginger, pray for those who are maybe listening to the sound of our voice, and
yes,
just lift them up in prayer also.
Yes, and Father God, we just come before you tonight thanking you for the opportunity to get into people's homes and for your presence, Father God, to just go before us and prepare hearts and minds, Father God, and just be to set people free from some mindsets even, Lord. We come before you asking, Father God, that you, through your spirit, Lord God, heal, deliver, set free someone tonight, Father God, that may be in need of a healing, Father God, that may be in need of a financial blessing, that maybe, Lord God, is going through something in their family, Father God, and in disappointments, Father, in the name of Jesus. You are forever present. You are real. You are omnipresent with all of us. You said that you never leave us nor forsake us, Father, and you're always with us, Father God, through your Holy Spirit, through your angels, Lord, and your word, which does not return void. So we just thank you tonight, Father God, for the souls that are being touched, delivered, and set free. We thank you for that one that is being encouraged, Father God, right now to get up and do something that they have never done before. We speak, Lord God, to everyone who is discouraged tonight, Lord. We speak encouragement to you in the name of Jesus. We speak blessings over your life tonight in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would just move into your presence and be tangible in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'll read in Genesis chapter 3, and I'll start in verse 7, and I'll be reading. So for those of you who are note takers, and just prepare your heart and your mind to follow along with us in the passage of Genesis 3. And it reads this way. And I'll read this in the New International Version. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God, as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Verse 16, "To the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because you, though painful, through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. 22. And the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. I'm going to try my best to allow the Holy Spirit to say the right words to bring out the meaning as best as I can concerning these passages that was read. Thank you, Carnita. I made a note that when sin comes in, it brings with it shame. In verse 3 and 7a, it states, "They knew that they were naked and had to make coverings for themselves because they were ashamed." The word ashamed, the definition is a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Their nakedness was never an issue before they ate from the forbidden tree. Note also, fear is a big weapon in the arsenal of Satan. In verse 3 and 10, sin also brings fear. "I heard," this is Adam speaking to God, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." I would like to explain one definition of fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. It says anticipation, meaning we fear sometimes anticipating something that we don't even see, anticipating a wrong diagnosis from a doctor's appointment or a doctor's visit or an x-ray. We get fearful because we don't know whether it's good, whether it's bad. We get fearful if we don't see a financial resource for a certain situation that pops up. We get fearful. It's so many things. We get fearful over our children who are grown and they're out there and you don't know what they're doing, and all sorts of thoughts come to your mind. Fearfulness comes at times when we really don't know what the outcome is going to be. That's why God's word gives us this, states to us this. God did not give us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 states, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In many places in the scripture, when God, Jesus, or an angel presented themselves to a person, the first words spoken are, "Fear not." So fear has nothing to do with God. And also, "fear not" appears in the Bible, believe it or not, 365 times. Wow, that's amazing. It's as if God planned it that way. We are to fear. We are to fear not every day of the year. Isn't that awesome? I think it is. Just imagine in our health. The word tells us Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, and by his stripes we're healed. That's a fearless statement over health in our body. Because Jesus already covered it. By his stripes we were healed. And even in Peter, 1 Peter 2 and 24, it says, "By his stripes we were healed." We are healed. So in Isaiah 53 and 5 states that we were, and in Peter, 1 Peter 2:24, it says that we are. So we need not fear being sick. We just trust God. Yes, sickness and disease is real, but we trust God, and the fear of it will not overpower us once we put his word first. In our finances, the word tells us that God supplies all our needs according to his riches and glory by his son Christ Jesus. So Philippians 4:19. And he causes us to come behind in no good gift. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who seeks him out. God blesses us once we put him first. The word of God tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto us." If we are believers of Christ, and Christ dwells in us, and his word becomes our light and our light to our footsteps and the lamp to our path. His word becomes our strong tower. His word becomes our hiding place. His words become our shield, our guide, our comforter. The word of God is everything to us. So we need not fear. Fear is not of God. Anytime we experience fear, that alone should tell you it is not of God. In Jesus' name, your home, your environment, you name it, God got it covered. We just research, if we just search the scriptures, we will discover we need not give in to fear, because his word covers everything. And for that, I thank God. Also, we know in the verses that were read that Adam and Eve did not take blame. They were full of pride, and they transferred the blame to others instead of standing up and taking the blame for themselves. When God asked Adam if he ate from the tree, his words were, "The woman that you gave me gave me of the fruit and I ate." So he blamed God for giving him the woman. So it's God's fault in a sense that he ate from the tree. And then when the woman was asked, she said, "The serpent beguiled her and she did eat." So the serpent deceived her and she did eat. So she's blaming the serpent for eating and not taking the blame for herself that she did it. One thing I can say, a little footnote here. I'm a mother of three. They're grown children. And one of the worst punishments that they could ever get is to be a follower of others. From the time they explained anything that happens and they said that they this one did it and I did, I have them repeat it three times, and on the third time they realize that punishment came, because no one should ever influence you to do anything. God has given us a mind for ourselves to choose right and to choose wrong. The word of God in Deuteronomy 28 says that once we are listening and we are following God's word and his rule and his commandments, that we shall not be followers, that we should be leaders. And this is something I emphasize in all of my children. A leader doesn't follow. A leader leads. And Christ is the head. So only following we need to do is to follow him who is right and who is righteous and who does right. Because the older folks says sin can take you, but it can't bring you back. So we need to examine who we put before us to follow. And if we make a decision, we need to take the responsibility and blame that it was us who made the decision and not someone else. Because when that day comes and we stand before God, we cannot say this one made me or that one made me. No, God is looking at you and decisions that you have made. So if that encourages or speak to someone tonight, or maybe you're in a decision-making process and you're hearing different voices telling you do this, do that, do the other, no, stand still and seek the Lord's direction and make the right choice. That was just something from my heart. And I will go on from there. So they place blame on each other and the serpent and even God. And that is very prideful and bold in my opinion. No way I could blame God for anything. One definition of fear is, and fear does appear 363 times in the Bible. And I would move on to the word enmity. The word enmity was found in verses 3 and 15. It is defined as the state or feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. It causes division. That's what enmity does. Man fell from grace due to his disobedience to God, to God's command, and by obeying the serpent to go against God's word. Right there is where enmity entered in, separating them, ultimately us, from God because of sin. Hence, our title for this lesson, How did I become a sinner? By disobedience. Through disobedience. But God had a plan. Yes, he did. And that was one of redemption of man back into a perfect fellowship with him through his son, Jesus the Christ. With that, I would offer Kanita. Kanita, do you have anything to add to what was said?
Well, no, not really, because it's connecting, and everything that you're bringing to light or unpacking it makes a lot of sense. Of course, it does, because it's the Word of God. But yes, one thing I guess I do want to say is the fact that how we as humans, whether we're believers in Christ Jesus or whether we're not, we do have those mm-hmm. tendencies to play the blame game. And I just encourage those who are listening to the broadcast to always take responsibility for your choices.
Yes.
Just as Ginger shared and trained and taught her children, this is something that we should take and implement in ourselves, is to take responsibility for the wrong that we do. And when we see it as being wrong, or we see what we're doing or saying or even thinking as being sin, then we confess it as sin and rid ourselves of that, especially when we're making some choices. And as Adam and Eve both made a choice, they made a choice to mm-hmm. eat of this fruit off this particular tree, and they were commanded to not do that. But they had an opportunity. They had an opportunity to confess it as sin, but they chose to play the blame game, the blame game with one another. And so they did not want to take responsibility. So this is something that we definitely need to do a self-analysis in our thinking and choices, and especially as we walk our Christian walk, to always do an inventory of our thoughts, of our speech, and of our actions. Does it show love, or am I falling into a sea of temptation that ultimately will result to sin and death? And so we see that in these particular verses on how God said. But yes, that was something, Ginger, that really made me think about myself as you were breaking this thing down, to help us understand fear, to help us understand shame, and then what enmity really means. And when we fall into temptation or we sin because of choices, then that shows that we have let go of God's hand, meaning
yes.
we're no longer in fellowship with God. Now, talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, as we see ourselves slowly slipping away from God's hand, then we start slowly falling into a broken fellowship with God, our Father.
Mm-hmm.
And we mm-hmm. talked about that in the last broadcast, broken fellowship. But this is what is taking place with God's children. With his children, and we have to remain in fellowship. And of course, Ginger will continue to move into the lesson. But those were some sweet, sweet nuggets that we really need to take heed to, is to not play the game, blame game, and ante up, if you will, ante up to your wrong and immediately confess it as sin. Do not try to
yes.
pass it off on someone made me
yes.
do it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And I would add to that statement concerning even myself, when I do wrong, and I'm not talking about like a big situation, little things, and saying you did wrong and asking God for forgiveness is good, but if the wrong was towards someone else, I make it a habit to humble myself and ask, let that person know and ask their forgiveness, because it adds another level to your relationship with God. You know, just you know, being private and said, oh, no, I said something about this person, or I saw something in this person and I gossiped about it, and I asked God forgiveness. But yet and still, you already put it out there in the atmosphere. So you need to correct that also, so that your environment would also be pure of sinful attributes, per se. Yes. So, yes, asking, owning up to things that we have done that is not pleasing to God, any little thing. And your relationship with God becomes a little more intimate, becomes a little bit more closer, and your walk becomes a little bit more directed and focused. That's the best I could say. So as we move on, we're going to go to man's covering, which is taken from chapter 3. We're going to be remaining in Genesis chapter 3 as our main verses. So this is taken from Genesis 3 and verse 7, and it states, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Now, God didn't make that covering. They did. And that is a form of us covering the sin nature for ourselves. And without God, it's impossible. It's impossible to do, because we cannot cleanse the sins. We cannot cleanse our sins enough to enter into God's presence. We have to have a godly covering that will cover our sins completely, that we can enter into his presence. So with Adam and Eve making coverings for themselves, they made inferior coverings. That's why they were afraid, I believe, to even get into God's presence, because they didn't even show themselves. They hid from God, when before they had an open relationship with God. They had a free relationship with God. They did not even realize that they were naked, because the presence of God just covers everything. When he comes onto a scene, he just takes control once we give him that control. So their relationship was so free and open that they didn't have consciousness or awareness of being even unclothed, because being in God's presence was a covering to them. So now that they're outside of the presence, that they made themselves covering, but it was not the same, because they still hid, even with the covering. So think about that. Yes, and I would say we could never cover up sin in ourselves, because God sees the heart. Have you ever met someone and they're just too nice? But without Jesus as their Savior, that person is a sinner in need of a Savior. Why, you ask? Because none of us are righteous. No, not one. That's what the Word tells us. We become right with God through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the shedding of his blood. I'm jumping a little bit ahead of what I need to be saying, but through the blood of Jesus, that's how we become righteous. That's how we become right before, to be able to stand in God's presence, to be able to walk with him, per se, to be able to have that relationship that Adam had before the fall, before they ate of the tree with God. That is what Jesus represents, and he is God's covering through the shedding of blood. Sister Carnita, would this be a good place for us to pray, or would you like me to continue?
I think you're right. I think this is a wonderful place to just rest and to allow the extension of Jesus Christ to be offered into the hearts of someone who may be listening to the broadcast who may not know him in the pardoning of their sin. So, yes, go right ahead and just offer up a prayer of salvation.
Praise your name, Jesus.
Oh, glory to God.
Father God, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for his body that was bruised and broken and ultimately offered up as a sacrifice for our sins. And I speak to anyone that is listening that may want to know you as their Lord and Savior tonight, that the Word of God says that we only have to believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we shall be saved. So I pray tonight, Father God, that you just deal with the hearts of the people that you have ordained to listen to this moment, Lord. Deal with their hearts, Father God, and give them, Father, the desire to seek you as their Lord and Savior, desire to seek you to save them from their sins, Father God, to save them from unrighteousness, Lord God, to make them acceptable into the Beloved. So right now I'd like you to repeat after me. Father God, I thank you that you sent your Son Jesus to die for my sin, for his blood that was shed on the cross to wash me from all my unrighteousness, to make me acceptable into your presence through the covering of the blood of Jesus, that I might be grafted into the tree of life and be a family that I can call you my father, my daddy. In Jesus' name, Father God, I just thank you for those souls that are reaching out to you right now, even as we speak. Thank you, Lord God, for showing yourself to them strong. Thank you, Lord God, right now to reveal yourself to them, Father God. Even when this broadcast is over, this broadcast is completed this day, and you just deal with them upon their beds in the nighttime season, just show your love, just love on them to show them that you are real. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I just encourage you, for those who may have given your life to Christ on this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and he made it for you to give your heart and your life and your soul to him. He is so pleased. And if you said yes to Jesus, we encourage you to seek out a Bible-teaching church in your community and that you would be baptized by submersion of water, and that when you get up, you would sing hallelujah and you would tell the world that you are now a follower of Christ Jesus. And the angels are rejoicing because you gave your life to Jesus. And so when you become baptized by submersion, seek out a Sunday school class within that church or a small group Bible study that you would be discipled so that you can grow and go in grace. And continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio so that you would also grow in the Word of God. So praise the Lord, and thank you, brothers and sisters, who partnered with us and touched and agreed that those who may have been listening or you lifted up in prayer that individual would come to know Jesus in the pardoning of their sin, that they would also be watered and God would do the increase of his love and his grace in their life. So, amen. So we'll move right into our scriptures. So thank you, and we'll just continue to pick up, Ginger.
Amen. Yes. So that brings us to, again, the covering, God's covering through the shedding of blood. Verse 3, Genesis again, Genesis 3 and 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics, clothes, and clothed them. Hebrews 9:2 states, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We are led to believe when God made the clothing for Adam and Eve, it was with an animal, with animal skin. Symbolizes that the only way our sins can be covered correctly was by the shedding of blood, which God did to get the skins from an animal. Some theologians believe that it was a lamb or lambs. We see the process throughout the whole Testament, beginning with God, obviously, then with Abel, which is Adam and Eve's second son. That's found in Genesis 4:4. And it's carried out throughout and up until Jesus being the final sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Now, God, the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed in him might be saved. Did I quote that right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Yes. So God had a plan for redemption for us from the time that they ate from the tree, Adam and Eve, that is. God had a plan. And I just adore my relationship with God and the being that he is, because he makes our crooked pathways, he makes them straight. And it always leads back to him. So no matter what turns we may make in our Christian walk, God always redirects us back to him, back to his purpose for us. And for those who doesn't know Christ yet but is close to him, that is, he's drawing you, that's it. Regardless of what you do, where you turn, you're his. And you will eventually be led back to him. I thank God for the blood of Jesus, and I thank him for the cross. And with that being said, we move on now to our third 3C point, which is the seed of the woman. Genesis 3:16 states, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's God speaking to the serpent. In Isaiah 53:9-12, those words in Genesis 15 was fulfilled. And it reads thus, verse 9, and they made his grave with the wicked. This is Jesus they're speaking of. But with the rich and his at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet,
I'll pick up where Ginger left off, starting in verse 9, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence at all. And it says in verse 9, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed.
He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. You can go ahead and pick up where I left off in verse 10, Ginger.
Yes, we had some technical difficulty. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's God speaking of Jesus. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he, Jesus, poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he, Jesus, bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was the plan of God to bruise the head of the serpent, which is representative of Satan, the devil. And he is the seed that was spoken of. Jesus is the seed that was spoken of, that the enemy would bruise his heel, which is him, the nailing of his feet to the cross. And the enemy believing that he won when Jesus was nailed to the cross, but that was the ultimate of God's redemption. The ultimate of God redeeming mankind from the grip of the enemy's hold. Because remember, when Adam ate and disobeyed God, everything that Adam had, he literally, technically handed it over to the enemy of our soul, the serpent, Satan, the devil, however you want to name him. The Bible tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's why there's so much evil in the world, so much wickedness in the world, all the wars and the prejudices and everything that is evil and hurtful. It's not God. It's the enemy. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly through his sacrifice. So when we ask Jesus into our hearts to be our Lord and our Savior, we become children of God. We become under I have a scripture, I believe it's in the 91st Psalm, where the Bible says that God covers us with his feathers and under his wings we take refuge. So that's the analysis that I could see, this huge covering that God, he just brings us into his fold, and we are under his wings when we become children of the Most High through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the accepting of him as our Lord and Savior. We come under that covering of the Lord and Christ, God through the Holy Spirit, which he gives to us as our comforter, that as our liaison, in a sense that we can communicate to God through him, and he communicates to us through the Holy Spirit and his Word, of course, and we become a family with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the accepting of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the enemy, which is the Satan, the prince of the power of the air, he has no place in us. The Bible tells us that greater is Christ in us through the Holy Spirit than he that's in the world. So our life is not a sinful life anymore. We do sin and we do miss the mark, but because of Jesus and the righteousness that he has put into us, he has given the authority to come boldly into God's throne room
to receive mercy and to find grace to help in our times of need. We need each other as brothers and sisters. We need the word of God to strengthen us, to build us up. All that comes from us accepting the Jesus' death on the cross for our salvation as the Son of God and coming into the family of God. And there's so much, oh my gosh, there's so much fullness in the presence of God, being in the family of God, than it is being outside of God. This world is dying, just like we are dying because of our fall in the garden. Men began to die. I believe God's plan for us was not to die because it had the tree of life there, and we could eat of that tree freely. And as the Lord said, he had to let man go out of the garden because they're going to reach out and eat from the tree of life, and then they're going to live forever in a sinful state, and that was not his plan for us. So I just want to say thanks to God for allowing us to speak on this lesson. And I thank God for the ears that has heard and those that has received and those that were built up because of it or encouraged even or enlightened. And I just want to say thanks for even my sister Carnita for using me in this way to bring out in me something that was on my heart. Carnita?
Amen. Amen. So you showed us how the blood of Jesus Christ in Hebrews 9:22, I believe, was the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
And you showed us the connection in the garden on how man tried to cover their sin with temporal items such as fig leaves. And then you showed us how God's covering, that he covered their shame, if you will, because that's what they felt, how they felt shameful and fearful. But you showed us how God covered them with animal skin of some sort. And I would like to look at Hebrews and just go back to Hebrews 9 and how it indicates in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. In verse 11, and how I'm going to read through that and in the NIV translation, and it reads this way: When Christ came, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater, more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of the creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Verse 13, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonial unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean.
how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of our new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. Then when Moses had proclaimed every commandment of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll and all the people. He said in verse 20, "This is the blood of the covenant, which God has commanded you to keep." In the same way, sprinkled with the blood, both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremony. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Or in the New King James translation, in verse 22, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission." And when you had made the connection and correlation between the shedding of blood in the garden, for them to be covered, and then Jesus being the perfect sacrificial lamb and the shedding of his blood, it just made things so much more clear as to why we have a covering. And of course, through salvation and accepting him as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we are covered eternally because we've accepted him. He paid it all on the cross. And on the cross, it was because of his blood that God said was perfect, without spot, without blemish. He was. And it was his blood that we read about in the Old Testament. And now that we see in Hebrews 9 how it's only by his blood that we are covered. Our sin is covered. And I just thought that was so sweet to see in Scripture, in connecting how they tried to cover with temporary, God covered with the way it should be by the shedding of blood, and then Jesus was the perfect sacrificial lamb, and his blood covered the sin of the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So as we wrap up this particular teaching series, how did I become a sinner? I just want to thank our sister in Christ, Ginger, for allowing God to use her and the Holy Spirit to show us how we became a sinner. And it was all the way back in the beginning in the garden. And I just want to thank you, sister, for being faithful and just continuing to press in to God through this lesson. I know it wasn't easy, but it was worth it. Don't you agree?
Yes, yes, very much.
Amen.
Very much.
So,
amen.
So this brings us to the end of this particular broadcast, but I just want to say before we bring it to an end, never, ever forget who paid it all, and all to him we owe, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That is Jesus Christ. He stands at the door and knocks.
And knocks.
Mm-hmm. If anyone hears my voice, he says, and opens the door, Revelation 3:20 says, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. And that just keeps it all in perspective. The door of your heart should be open, tender, and ready to receive Jesus, because he's waiting to come in to your heart. And
amen.
So he brings the sin, rebellious, separated people to a God, Father, who has peace, forgiveness, abundant life, and, of course, eternal life for those who accept him. So always remember that the grass withers, and the flowers, oh yes, they fade away. But the word of God will remain forever and ever. Thank you again, Ginger, for being such a faithful, faithful witness of our
Thank
Lord
you
Savior.
For that.
Amen. Amen. So I pray that you have a blessed week as we continue to search the scriptures and to show thyself approved unto God, as you will meet with us again on our next broadcast. It will be a delight. God bless you.